You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by. Right now I feel like I take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is your host, Lou, and I'm joined tonight with my co-host, Chris. How are you tonight, Chris?
I'm doing very well.
Very well. And we are in the final countdown phases now. We are only 6 weeks out from... Rogue One. I'm getting really excited.
Although, oh, you know, I am too. I'm so
happy.
It's
just tough now that we're getting into this sequence of the time frame of no new news. I mean, there's nothing really that Lucasfilm wants to release now about the movie. So we're in that period where we're going to start getting TV spots, I assume, pretty soon, which I'm going to try to stay away from because I think they gave away more than I wanted to see for episode 7. I don't know about you, but every time one came on, I fast-forwarded through it because I was usually watching things on my DVR. I'm like, I don't want to see anymore. I don't want to get any more spoilers. Just because I know in the TV shows, they're a little bit more loose and free with what they put on screen. You know, so I'm trying to just go with the official trailers that were released so far, and I'll be happy with that. But yeah, just 6 weeks away. I'm
pumped.
Itching with anticipation. I haven't looked into getting tickets yet. Have you done anything about tickets yet?
No, I don't think they're on sale yet. There was people were thinking it was going to be right now it's November 1st as we record this, but like last week sometime, but it didn't happen.
I mean, every movie theater is a little bit different too, so who knows when they're going to really sell. I mean, last time there was that big rush they had that trailer release during halftime of one of the football games last year on a Monday night, was it? Yeah, I think so. And there's a huge rush to get online, and servers were crashing, and nobody could get tickets, and that was real frustrating. And I haven't heard anything about that this year, so I don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, I know my theater does a couple weeks out usually for big movies, so I'm going to start keeping my eyes open and maybe check the website daily and see when they're going to release tickets for that. So, because I don't want to miss out. I want to be able to get the showing I want to get, and now that we're picking seats at the theater I go to, I want to be able to get a seat, you know, right in the middle, towards the middle of the, you know, thing front to back, but definitely in the middle, side to side, my preferred viewing spot.
So I don't know. First of all, we should probably explain why Eric's not here. Unfortunately,
who Eric? What?
Yeah.
The other guy that records with us sometimes. Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately, he did not. Come back into Echo Base with us. He's still out in the snow. Last week we left you out in the snow, Lou, and
it was cold.
Yes.
It was really cold.
And
but I had my tauntaun, so I survived.
Eric come out, so
I don't think Eric has a tauntaun either.
I apparently have to sit down and talk to you both about, you know, coming back in before we shut the blast doors, because
I know it's so much fun to be out in the snow and playing, though. You know, I mean, come on. What's better? There's a lot of things better than being out in the snow. Never mind. and then nice warm interior somewhere. Unfortunately, he did have something come up family-wise that he couldn't make it tonight, but we shall soldier on without him, and of course, everything is his fault now, so that's an easy way to blame. Did I get blamed for anything last week?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm wrong.
Yes. I haven't listened to the episode yet. I'll have to go back and check that, make sure I didn't get blamed or anything. But I like it when nothing bad happens, so I didn't get blamed. Go ahead.
I was going to say, before we get in the news, do you realize what last week was?
No.
It has been 4 years since the announcement that Disney bought Lucasfilm.
4 years. Wow. Yeah. Do you remember where you were when you heard?
Yes, I was in a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, it must be a theme. I was in McDonald's, but not really a nice restaurant. But yeah, I was in a restaurant.
Were you with anybody?
No, I was by myself. I actually had to text Eric, and he's like, "What?" I didn't even hear that.
I was very excited. I was with a friend eating dinner, and he's a big Star Wars fan too. And I was looking on Twitter, and I was freaking out. And I was like, "Oh, this isn't real." And then I read the press release, and I was like, "It's real." And then I had to hear him talk about how, "Oh, well, it's not going to be good movies unless they make the EU." I'm like, "Oh boy."
Yeah, that was what
it started for the first day.
Yeah, exactly. That's all you heard for like the first 2-3 weeks. I'm like, can't we talk about the good things that we're going to get movies again? I mean, isn't that a good thing? But no, everybody focused on the bad stuff about this and how Disney was evil. And wow, I mean, so far, I think they've done justice to the franchise. I am happy. I'm in a happy place with what we've got so far. So,
yeah, there's nothing that's been too terrible. I mean, there's been some things.
Well, I mean, aside from the fact that we had, you know, Star Wars branded apples last year.
In
the whole marketing side of things. But we had that with the prequels as well. I mean, you remember leading up to The Phantom Menace, there was just a huge glut of anything that you could slap a logo on, they did. Mm-hmm. And
there were Pepsi cans. I remember that.
I remember that, yep.
And I don't drink Pepsi, I remember drinking Pepsi just for the Star Wars characters when I was...
awesome. I mean, I remember the toy release... And I wasn't as into collecting then as I am now. Not sure why, but I was at it for a little while there. But they had so many toys released and so many variations. And, you know, I'm talking about just regular 3¾ figures, that there was just tons of them swinging from the pegs. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, they seem a little overstocked. I don't think we're going to get rid of all this stuff. We're going to have this on the shelves for years to come, which may be why we don't have as many things swinging on the pegs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did find an Ahsoka in the wild.
Ooh, did you buy it?
Yeah, yeah. Every time I see a black figure that I haven't bought, I definitely get it.
Where did you find it at?
That was just in Walmart. I was I went in there for kicks, and I know they've gotten restocked with something recently, and they had some new, like, you know, center aisle things that they put some stuff in, and they had kind of gotten restocked on black figures, and they had a pretty good selection. I was pretty surprised.
Cool.
So I picked up that and a few more of the titanium chips. I'm slowly finding all those. I'm filling in my gaps there. But
oh, by the way, speaking of new Star Wars merchandise, so do you remember at New York Comic Con what Star Wars piece of merchandise that I said I was going to start buying?
Ooh, there were so many things we saw. What did you say you were going to start buying? I don't recall.
It's stuff that's out in the wild, and it comes from a specific store. You are also a fan of this store.
I'm a fan of this store. Hmm.
Yeah. Or you're a fan of the Star Wars selections from this store.
Was it the itty bitty stuff?
Yes.
Hallmark? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I went into Hallmark the other day, and totally not realizing that, you know, they had Star Wars stuff in there. And I walked by, I'm like, wait a minute, this is where the itty bitties are. So I was looking and I found a Rey, and it's adorable. And now it's cool. On my desk. And I almost got a Poe too.
But nice.
And well, I would rather have just, I only wanted one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd rather have the Rey than Poe, but.
Cool. I don't think I realized I had a Poe out yet. I thought that was coming later. I'll have to look for that. Because I don't have that one. But I did get the exclusive at Deer Comic Con, the Slave Leia and Jabba the Hutt two-pack piece they had there. That was pretty nice. I like that.
And the good thing is they're pretty cheap. I mean, it says, let's see on the price tag here, $6.95, which isn't bad at all. I mean, it's even cheaper than the Funko figures.
Yeah, they're actually not bad, and they're small. You know, they can If you want to put them away, you don't have to worry about packing them nice and neat. You can just shove them in a box because they're meant to be squishable. You know, it's pretty nice that way. Speaking of Hallmark, I think on whatever the last show we recorded was, I was kind of showing off with the sounds from my Death Star tree topper.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to bring it back.
It's got
a problem. You know, I got it the night we recorded last time, and I plugged it in and it lit up. I was like, oh, so cool. And I'm like looking at it, and like half the top part of the dome is not lit up very well.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those things where it changes colors, and there's lights that kind of move around inside, so the trench lights up and changes color, and then it goes to a different color. It goes to red, and it goes to blue, and back and forth. So look at this. I'm going, well, is it supposed to be that way? It didn't look broken, and when you light up for the sound, the whole thing lights up white, so the whole thing lights up. I'm like, okay, well, it does work, but is that really supposed to be that way or not? So last week on Monday, I think it was, I was able to get online with someone from Hallmark and chat with them about, you know, is this right? Or, you know, I just want to know if it was right or not. And sure enough, they did say they have a problem with, it's a known problem with some of their Star Wars Death Star tree choppers, where part of the lights don't light up internally. And you can bring it back to the store. So
I've
got the receipt now. I've got to go exchange it for one that works. And I'm also getting nervous now that, you know, I don't think stores have a ton of these. And are they going to sell out? Are they not going to be around? I want to make sure I get one.
But yeah.
I think if nothing else, I can probably order from Hallmark online.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, it wasn't a fully operational battle station is what you're telling me.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It was not a fully operational battle station. I didn't even think about that. How did I miss that one? Wow. I must be getting old.
I tried to think of a funny Christmas pun, but
no, that was a good one there. That was that was perfect.
The only thing I could think of is, you know, now witness the power of this fully operational tree topper, but I mean,
yeah,
I like fully operational battle station a little bit better.
That is, although I can't use that word with my wife because she'll be probably trying to take it off the tree because she doesn't want a battle station on the Christmas tree. Yeah, I can't blame her. So I kind of soft play that. You know,
hey, you could call it a moon.
I could. Is that snow moon? So unfortunately, I got to bring that back, but we will, I'll keep you guys posted on that. Cause it looks really awesome when it lights up. I had it plugged in for a couple hours that night. It was doing its thing and I was like, ooh, it's awesome. And the remote, hangs on the tree as an ornament as well too. It's got like the Imperial symbol and it hangs on there and you can take it off, push the button.
See, I like that because, you know, a lot of tree toppers are just like the cord and like you have to like plug it, like put it inside the tree so nobody can see it. And you got to put it in the back and then it's just a big hassle. So that's good though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So on to the news, I guess. And we said there wasn't a lot of news. So it's maybe a little quick on some of the stuff, but we'll go through this. Battlefront, this came out just today. Actually, I saw this news item that Battlefront has been narrowed down to a release date for basically next fall. In an earnings call, they talked about today that it was be released a year from now. So we're assuming that means fall. Originally, I think they had said it was somewhere between April and December. So they really had it narrowed down to most of the year. And now they've narrowed it down just a couple months. So kind of cool. And this is the sequel to Battlefront that came out last year before TFA. And
is it bad that I've yet to play Battlefront?
You know, I mean, that was the game that got me to buy a new PlayStation, buy a PS4. I did get the Star Wars themed one with Vader on the face of it, so it's kind of cool. But I didn't really like playing Battlefront that much. I am not as much of an online player as other people are, so I like games that are able to play offline, you know, have a story mode to it and go through a story aspect to it. Or even if it's online, play an MMO type thing where there is a story I can go through myself.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was just about all battles, which is fun, but I do like a story. So I didn't play it as much as I'd like to. I'm hoping Battlefront 2 has more of a storyline to it. I know they said
doesn't, I think it won't sell very well because there were a lot of people that, you know, played it because it was, you know, a new Battlefront, but they didn't, there was many aspects obviously that they didn't like. So I don't think that EA can kind of repeat that mistake.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, people are really not happy with the Battlefront the way it is, or at least a good portion of people. So hopefully they learned, and hopefully we'll get what we want.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Battlefront, Star Wars games are licensed exclusively from EA right now. They hold the exclusive licenses for all video games except mobile. And right now they're developing a couple other stories as well, too, a couple other games as well. They have a VR title coming out, hopefully in time for Rogue One next month. It's called Star Wars Battlefront Rogue One, a Star Wars story. It's a VR title for the new PlayStation VR goggles, which looks really awesome. I don't think I can swing that my budget this year, but it's something that would be kind of cool to check out. Visceral is developing a third-person action game for 2018, and the Titanfall developer, Respawn Entertainment, is also working on a third-person action-slash-adventure game. So plenty in the works for Star Wars titles.
You know, I'm surprised that we didn't get a Rogue One-themed, like, mainstream video game. I remember, like, back in the days of the prequels, there were a ton of games centered around the movies. Like, for Episode 1, you had the Episode 1 video game, which a lot of people didn't like because it was really hard. And I played way too much of it, actually. I eventually ended up beating it, thanks to a strategy guide. But I put way too many hours into that game. There was also the pod racing game. Let's see. There was Jedi Power Battles. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then Episode 2, I think there was the Clone Wars game. There was the Starfighter games, which were really fun. Let's see, what am I missing? There was an Episode 2 game, but it was for the Game Boy Advance, and it was terrible. And then for Episode 3, there was the Episode 3 video game, which was also terrible. And, you know, that's when Battlefront was popular. But, you know, now like, you have Battlefront, the current one, and then a couple mobile games, which are now, like, discontinued or something, and the Card Trader, and that's literally it.
Yeah, there's not a lot out there, really. So, more stuff coming.
It just surprises me, because, I mean, that's kind of, like, think about what we've seen of Rogue One. And then think about, like, a Republic Commando-style Rogue One video game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something I'd love to see.
Well, it's like, you know, it was funny, because right after Battlefront came out, and I was kind of unhappy with playing it, and I moved on to some other stuff, there was a few other games that came out that I really enjoyed playing. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, if they could only put this kind of content into a Star Wars game, and I realized it was the only thing I was really missing was basically the story to it.
Yep.
You know, I'd like to be able to go through a mission and complete it and move the story along in my own mind and get something out of it, you know, more so than just, you know, battling on the same battlegrounds all the time, and mm-hmm. that's it. So, we have some lawsuit news here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I guess the mouse is now exercising his legal rights to maybe take down some trademark infringement. Have you heard of the Lightsaber Academy?
I've heard of it, yes.
Well, Disney and Lucasfilm is suing them for trademark infringement, basically. The article here from Hollywood Reporter says, Lucasfilm, subsidiary of Disney, is using the force of its trademarks to cut down an enterprise that purports to teach interested Star Wars fans the ways of the Jedi. So, yeah, they're filing a lawsuit against the Lightsaber Academy. I guess this guy's Michael Brown's the guy that owns it, and I guess his other businesses are New York Jedi and something called Thrills and Skills. And they're basically suing him over trademark infringement that, you know, using things that Lucasfilm owns and has rights to, and they're using it to, you know, perform a business and make money out of it. It says, the defendants regularly use the Lucasfilm trademarks without authorization in connection with their businesses. States the complainant, among other infringing activities, defendants use a logo that is nearly identical and confusingly similar to Lucasfilm's trademark Jedi Order logo. round in shape with six wing-like shapes curving upward, three per side, and an eight-pointed star featuring elongated top and bottom points which stretch into a vertical line. So they're just trying to protect their trademarks and their investments. And I think mostly it comes down to, you know, they did use the term in there, confusingly similar, which is usually what happens in these kind of trademark lawsuits where somebody is doing something that could be confused with being an official Lucasfilm, mm-hmm. you know, property or something. So, it's kind of funny that this is taking place now, and I know there's been a lot of other companies that are involved in, you know, building lightsabers, teaching skills to, you know, battle and duel and that kind of stuff.
Well, I think it's more about, I would think, now this is without really knowing any behind the scenes details, that it's more about the lightsaber name and mm-hmm. like putting it out there that this might be like, if I was just a random person, no, mm-hmm. not a Star Wars fan, I might like heard of Star Wars, but, and you know, everyone knows what a lightsaber is, or, right. you know, they associate that with Star Wars. Like if I was just walking along on the street and someone say, "Hey, come to the Lightsaber Academy to learn how to fight, it's weekly, you know, get fitness exercise, etc." I'd be like, "Okay, this is cool. I wonder if the official Star Wars people run this." I mean, mm-hmm. it's called the Lightsaber Academy, so that's right. what you would think. And, you know, most of these other people, like what you were saying with, you know, building the lightsabers, and, you know, there are other forms of this out there. You know, they might use the term saber, but they don't use the term lightsaber or Jedi or, you know, anything like that. So,
yeah, I mean, there are other companies that are selling, you know, components and stuff. I mean, I recently built a lightsaber and I used a lot of stuff that I bought from the custom saber shop. Mm-hmm. There's other companies out there selling either parts or full sabers, that light up and function just like what you would see in the movies without the, you know, lethal effects, but, you know, they are out there, and I don't think any of those companies have used the terminology that really puts them into competition with Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
So you're probably right. It's probably just a matter of, you know, being too close to reality of what Disney is protecting and Star Wars owns, and, mm-hmm. and they don't want there to be any confusion. I don't think they have a problem with somebody doing something and teaching people how to, you know, duel with a sword made out of light.
yeah.
But, you know, I think they just want to make sure they know it's separate.
Plus, I don't think that they would allow some of these vendors and people to come to Celebration, and because, you know, some of those people that we saw in Anaheim were actual vendors, right? And, you know, the people with exhibitor badges, so that's the kind of stuff that you have to be approved for. And
exactly. And there was a couple there that we talked with that were you know, Eric and I talked with one group that was I think out in, I want to say they're out in California, but they were a group that promotes, you know, fitness and activity-based stuff around lightsabers, where they will get together and, you know, almost do it as like it's a, you know, yoga moves type thing.
Yeah.
A fitness-related thing. There's one here in Connecticut, the Connecticut Jedi. They got a Facebook page, and they have they meet once a week, I think, and they practice moves, and they, you know, wear costumes, and they're a full, you know, full-on costuming group. And it was another one that we saw at Celebration 2. He built sabers that were made for dueling. And these were, you know, balanced perfectly and meant to be a real, you know, dueling saber like you would do if you were doing, you know, fencing or something.
Yeah.
So, and they were promoting that, and they were promoting the fact that these are, you know, truly balanced weapons, so they're going to work nicely and they're going to feel good in your hand and that kind of stuff. But I don't think any of those were purporting to be similar or affiliated with Lucasfilm. And I think that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, this was a story you guys were going to cover last week that I don't think you guys got to, right? The one about the force back?
That is correct.
I don't like that term, force back. And call it a flashback. Call it an insight. Call it something. Force back just sounds... We don't have to use the word force all the time, do we?
Well, that plus it's too much. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I have a, I don't have a, I mean, I don't say, would say I have a problem with the name, but
no, it's very, it's not going to kill me. It just, it kind of like, seems hokey to me.
That's exactly what I was supposed to say. Like, it's
Right.
Like, ha ha ha, very funny, guys.
Exactly,
like
it's a force thing, back. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, a pun. What we're talking about is there was a story recently that Abrams was discussing the fact that they had cut some sequences out of the force back that Rey had when she touched Luke's lightsaber for the first time. Mm-hmm. And this was a scene that was from Empire Strikes Back. It was a scene in Cloud City where she looked down and she saw Vader and Luke fighting.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the fact this didn't make it into TFA? Do you like the fact that it was not in there? There was, you know, this could have been a throwback to the original trilogy, and it would have made fans even probably more happy that we had something in there that was from the original trilogy. And that would be one of the few things that would be in there that wasn't a... You know, people have really commented on the fact that, TFA is really just, you know, A New Hope done over again. This would be something that could tell you, no, it's not. This is something different. But what are your thoughts, Chris, on having this scene cut or this sequence cut?
Well, honestly, it's kind of a shame. I like the idea of I kind of wish that the scene might have been longer. Like I can picture it now, like Rey running down the corridor and then like maybe like in the distance seeing Vader and Luke fighting, so like you don't see close-ups or anything and you don't see like Vader's armor, because one thing I liked about TFA was when Kylo was holding the burnt remains of Vader's helmet, and you heard like the Imperial March and like the breathing part, like that was an impactful moment, and that was like, oh, sent chills down your spine. And I don't think it would have been like that one memory of Darth Vader is fine for me, and I think reusing it again would have been kind of it might have done something to that moment to make me feel like it wasn't as emotional. That being said, I think you could do it like shoot it in a way where it's like maybe blurry or it's really fast paced and like so you clearly know if you're a fan of the franchise what is going on and where Rey is during this force back, but. It doesn't take away from the other impactful moment of seeing Vader's burnt mask.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I will say that when I heard about, like, we've heard rumors about, well, not really rumors, but we've heard other discussions that this was in this was going to be in the movie, and this is really the first time that it's gotten like kind of national recognition, because I think isn't this from like the Blu-ray 3D commentary, something.
It may have been. I'm not sure where you guys pulled this story from. Yeah,
but if you remember, this must have been one of the last, because the exact quote is: "There were many iterations of this being the force back from JJ. It must have been like really close to, you know, happening, because if you recall from the toy release." Two of the figures were Darth Vader. Or I don't know if we had a Darth Vader, but we definitely had a Bespin Luke. Remember that?
Yeah, right. We did. Yep. Yeah,
and
we did. Didn't
people
we?
Were saying, "Well, why do we have this Luke figure and not, you know, TFA Luke?" Which found out later, because he's literally at the end and that's it. But that's why, because this was apparently heavily considered, and I guess it was enough for, you know, them to say, "Hey, we're going to have Bespin Luke and Darth Vader in this, so you should probably make toys for it." But
I mean, he did go on to say that he wanted it to be a more personal experience for, you know, this Force back to be a personal experience for Rey.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is to refresh my memory, because we talked before about the fact that none of us have really gone back and really seen The Force Awakens time and time and time again. Like we have, we're kind of giving it a break. I don't feel like I have to go back and watch it right away. Although I was thinking this afternoon, I really do want to go back and watch it. So I think I may do that before we see Rogue One. But this was the sequence where we got the Knights of Ren, in the rain, right? We got that.
She touches the lightsaber, and then she suddenly finds herself in the Cloud City corridor, but we don't actually see Luke and Vader fighting or anything. And then there's like she's in a I think she's in the forest that is like at the end of the movie. And then you hear a girl crying, and then you see the Knights of Ren like cutting somebody down, and then you see Kylo with the rest of the Knights of Ren like in that really dark, rainy thunder and lightning shot, and then it like ends. That's when you hear the Obi-Wan voiceover.
Yep.
So
was that the same point where we get the scene that she remembers being a little girl and watching the ship leave? Or was that somewhere else in the movie? I was trying to place that today. I couldn't remember where that was in the movie.
I think so, because I don't recall any other.
Yeah, I don't remember any other place that would. Moments. Unless that was when she was dreaming.
No, I don't think there was any part where she was dreaming.
That just goes to show I need to watch the movie again and again and again. So, but yeah, I mean, I think they made the right choice. You know, would that have confused the issue to have a scene of Luke and Vader fighting? Would it have confused her? Would she have even known what to do with that? I don't know. You know, there's so much stuff that's vague about the timeline still for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it before that I think it's, you know, it's weird that we have that gap between episodes 3 and 4 where all knowledge of the Jedi seems to have gone out the window and nobody even thinks they're real anymore.
Yeah.
It's only been a few years. You know, it's not like it's it's hundreds of years. And this is kind of the same thing. It's like we've gone ahead a few years now, and she's thinking about, you know, oh my God, that's real? The whole, you know, Han Solo thing is true? And, you know, it's like it seems unbelievable that stuff can fall out of knowledge that quickly. But, well, I guess this is better to have that not in here. Would have been nice to see as a fan, but I don't know. I think they made the right choice.
So let me ask you this. Let's assume for a minute that because this whole touching the lightsaber, you know, if Finn went up and did that, he probably wouldn't have the same thing that happened to Rey. Rey is special, as we know.
Yes.
So let's say like that moment is a representation of her force, the force in her awakening. So let's say in episode 8, she's being trained with Luke or whatever. And let's say she has a moment that's similar to Luke when he went in the cave on Dagobah.
Mm-hmm.
Where he sees a vision of Vader, and then they have a very brief duel, and then it turns out that Vader's mask is Luke's face, which that's a completely different story. But let's say they have another thing like that, or even, you know, another like force back, hopefully with a different kind of term than force back. What would you want to? But first of all, would you want to see that? And two, regardless of whether you want to see it or not, if it was in the movie, what would you like to see? Like, if let's say they have previous Star Wars moments or even something from Rey's life that they would put in the Force back, what would you want to see?
That's a really good question. I mean, assuming we're going to get the answers to who Rey's parents are, something of her childhood would be kind of fun to see. Maybe fun's the wrong word. I mean, it'd be something I'd want to see as a fan. Mm-hmm. Not that I need to spend an entire movie talking about her as a little kid like we did with episode 1 of Phantom Menace, because I didn't care for that, but... I would like to see a little bit about what happened, why her parents left, what, you know, what the reasons were for that, what she remembers from that time period, or what, you know, she will remember as we go forward. But I guess that'd be all I'd want to see. I don't want to see. I mean, I don't feel like TFA was a rehashing of A New Hope. I disagree with people that think that. I think it's its own story. It has some similarities, but I think it mirrored it nicely. I do not want to see Episode 8 mirror Episode 5. I don't want to have a whole thing of, oh, she's going to get trained, and it's going to be the same kind of thing with Luke and Yoda. I don't want to see that. I want to see something new. I want to see some training. You know, she needs to learn the ways of the Force, but I hope it's not a... I hope people don't have the same ammunition to say, oh, he just did, Empire Strikes Back again.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, as we're sitting here talking about this, first of all, I don't think that... Okay, TFA definitely had parts that were similar to A New Hope, but I don't think it was, obviously, I mean, it's not a shot-for-shot remake, and it's a more, it's like a spiritual remake, if anything, but I think it has enough differences to where you can distinguish the two. But I think in some ways people are trying too hard. Like, they're like, oh, well, there's a cantina scene in both of them. Okay, there's a cantina in Episode 2 as well, briefly, but it's there. Mm-hmm. These things are supposed to mirror each other because, one, it's that Star Wars, and Star Wars mirrors itself. But two, this was a very specific movie trying to recapture the feel of the originals. So I think part of me thinks, oh, well, they won't do, a lot of mirroring of Episode 5 and then later with Episode 9, Episode 6. But you also kind of got to think to yourself, well, have they kind of fallen into a hole in terms of where they can take the direction of the story to where it's completely different from Empire? Because right now, what we know is that Luke and Rey are together. You assume that Luke will teach Rey the ways of the Force, just like Yoda taught.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Luke.
And meanwhile, you have Finn, who is, injured and knocked out or wounded. Regardless, he's not around. Kind of how Han Solo was in Episode 6. And then Poe is just kind of Poe. He's just there, flying around. But, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, maybe some of it is now going to feel like Empire, regardless of what you do. Or even a little bit of Return of the Jedi thrown in there, and it worries me a little bit, which I'm just now thinking about for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it worries me that fans are going to have that thought, and some fans are going to jump all over that and try to make a big thing out of it. Mm-hmm. Like you, I don't think that TFA was a direct copy of A New Hope. It wasn't. To me, it was a new story. There was enough new elements to it that made me happy with what we got. But you're right. I think we run the risk of being ready to mirror the next movie because you've got, an Empire that could come back and be a force to be reckoned with. I mean, they did lose Starkiller Base, but
who knows what else is up their sleeve.
I'm sure they have a fleet of starships that can, wreak havoc. So,
exactly.
Well, I'm not worrying too much because we have a year to go.
And we've not even seen footage. So, I mean, we have no idea.
Right. I have faith. I think they're going to do a good job with it, but I hope it's different, more different than TFA was, so that the haters won't have anything to say.
Well, here's my thing. I am just glad that we have a different director, not because I don't like JJ. I love JJ Abrams and what he does with his work. I think that was one of the benefits. One of the really good benefits of the original trilogy is that you have George and then you have, Irvin Kershner.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third guy is escaping me. Richard something, I think, that directed Episode 6.
Oh, sure, in a spot. Marquardt, was that the name?
something like that. I feel terrible for not knowing his name, but it's late. I'll blame it on that. But no, we can blame it on Eric. Not me not knowing, we'll blame on Eric because he's not here. That was one of the good things about the original trilogy
Mark Quinn was the name, not Mark Wart. Sorry.
Okay. But you had different visions of where Star Wars can go and the way things are shot and the way the story flows and the way these emotional moments are supposed to hit you. And with the prequels, it was all George. And for better or worse, it didn't work out the way he probably wanted it to. But with this new director thing for the trilogy, for the sequel trilogy, it's a lot better. And same with the spinoff movies. And I think that there's more for more freedom to, stick with the main Star Wars elements, but also add your own twist to it.
Yeah, very well put.
Like last week on the show, we were talking about the news that came out that said that Joss Whedon wanted to do one of the standalone Star Wars movies, and people really kind of balked at the idea of it. I don't mind it personally. I mean, I can see the issues, and I'm a little hesitant, but in the end, I probably wouldn't mind it because it's a fresh take that we don't have a Joss Whedon movie. We have closest thing to Star Wars that he did was Firefly. Mm-hmm. And if we had a Star Wars version of Firefly, I'd love that. But I just, it all comes back to I want as many people as possible to have their own vision of Star Wars realized if it's good. And I trust Disney and Lucasfilm to only pick people if it's good.
Mm-hmm. We're getting fans that are good directors to make movies. I mean, say what you want about JJ. I mean, he's a fan of the franchise. He's like you and I, except he's much better at directing movies. And he did a good job. I mean, I think that, most people would give him the benefit of the doubt saying, yeah, it was a decent movie. They're not going to take somebody who is just, hey, I'm a new guy on the scene. I'd like to make a Star Wars movie. No, they're going to take established directors and go from there. Speaking of that, on the forefront is going to be Rogue One, and I am so excited to see what's going to happen with this. And this is a fairly young director, doing this. It's nothing like we're going to have, JJ with years and years of experience. Behind him, we have somebody new. Mm-hmm. So this, I think, is a good thing, seeing how the new take of directors is going to take on this role.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, I was impressed with hearing him speak at a celebration, Gareth Edwards.
And, me too.
I think he, again, a fan working on a Star Wars movie. I mean, talk about, these guys going all fanboy on themselves. I mean, listening to him talk about, how he got the job, when he knew he got the job, sneaking back and forth between whatever movie he was working on at the time to have interviews. Mm-hmm. With, I'm listening to him speak. I'm like, oh, that is just too cool. I mean, it's like you were sneaking around. You couldn't tell anybody. You couldn't tell your family. And you were this huge Star Wars fan. And they're saying, yeah, let's bring him in, talk to him about doing a movie. And yeah. How would you sit there in that movie or in that interview and not be just total fanboy? Mm-hmm. I
mean, plus, what we've seen with Rogue One, I mean, if you remember what he said in that panel, and then now we have visual representation of some of the stuff he was talking about. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if the movie's going to be very good. I hope it is. I have a feeling it will be. But
yeah. I mean, the visuals look good, and now hopefully we'll see if there's a good story behind it.
Yeah, it reminds me of, when you're a little kid and you have these Star Wars action figures and you're, fighting with all of them and making up your own stories as you go. And now that's kind of what these people are being allowed to do with Star Wars. Exactly. Which is,
that's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's a great way to put it because you're right. We've all done that before. Made up your own Star Wars movie, and now he gets to do this, but he gets to do it with a huge budget and real actors and special effects and
much better than
me holding an action figure and moving it.
I can think of some of the stories that I did when I was a kid with some of my figures and my Legos, and it's a good thing. I'll just leave it to the pros. And
I'll
stay out of it.
The ones I had were not as good as what we see on screen. My stories were not that involved. They weren't that well thought out. You know, I got called to come inside and stop playing before I got to finish the story. So, you know, who knows? Well, I think that brings us to an end of another episode of Echo Base. I think it's time to, we've already closed the doors and left Eric outside. So we don't have to close them. We just have to kind of lock them now, maybe.
Yeah.
He's
got his tauntaun. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully
he didn't just wander out with, you know, without a tauntaun.
He went for a stroll without a tauntaun. Oh yeah, la da 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 da. Oh no, Eric's smarter than that, I think, right? Yeah, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But we'd like to hear from you guys if you guys want to give us any feedback on the show and things you'd like us to cover on upcoming episodes. You can send us your feedback to echobase@randomchatter.com, and it's the best way to get a hold of any of us.
And you can also find us online at other places. We have our Facebook, which is facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. We have the Twitter, which is @EchoBasePodcast. We have the network Twitter, which is @RandomChatter. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Eric's Twitter is @EricBlythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. Lou, what is your Twitter?
Mine's just my name, Lou Secchi. You can call me at Lou Secchi. That's L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I. Didn't even know my own name there for a minute. You can listen to all of our other shows by going over to randomchatter.com. You can find such shows, and now we're back in the fall TV, so all of our fall superhero shows are back. But you can hear Random Chatter. You can see the new episodes of Green Justice, Scarlet Velocity, Age of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. We do The Outer Rim. Retro Combo is also on there. Chordcast, our new music podcast that Chris does with his co-host Joel, who's just got a broken arm, I guess, too, right?
Yeah. If anyone is following our feed, it's the episode title is the one where Joel broke her arm, and she tells us all about it, details and all.
I will have to listen. I have not caught up on Chordcast. I'll have to listen to that one. And then our newest show on the network, Ghost Stories, which is a Rebels podcast. So that's always a good one. If you're into the Rebels TV show, check that out.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to leave us reviews on iTunes as well as Stitcher. That goes for not only each individual show feed, but also the network feed as well. Any kinds of reviews and telling your friends about us really helps us get our name out there and get more people to listen to the shows and whatnot. So, yeah. Do that for sure.
Cool. And I know we threatened you this with a few times now recently, but we are bringing back the live shows. We are bringing back the live shows. We do have a schedule worked out, which didn't work out for this week. And so we're recording on Tuesday night. But I believe we're going to be doing Echo Base on Monday evenings at 9. Mm-hmm. And then I believe we're doing Outer Rim and Random Chatter on Thursdays. Time to be determined. Probably 9 o'clock now.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good. You can catch those at randomchatter.com/live. You can also search those on Ustream to search for Random Chatter. And we'll keep you posted on Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm. And another thing we've actually been threatening people with is that our Patreon is going to be going through a little bit of a revamp in terms of donation levels and perks and whatnot. We're actually very, 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 very close to announcing something for that. So, you can find more information about that at patreon.com/randomchatter. And thanks to everyone who has donated so far. We really appreciate it and helps keep the network afloat. So
yes, thank you very much. That does help us out quite a bit. And
More than you possibly know.
And like you said, Chris, I think the new donation levels will be changing a little bit and people will like them. And hopefully it'll be a bit benefit for everyone.
Yep.
Well, I think that does bring us to a close now. So we have locked the blast doors. Eric is left outside in the cold. Hopefully he'll survive, and we'll get him back here next week. But until then, everybody, take care.
Bye, everyone.
The Force will be with you always.